Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I have this article from the Philadelphia
Inquirer. Make America States Again.
Pretty much. And now, this isn't written by anybody that I'm aware of as a libertarian ilk, or, you know, anybody who is, you know, anything else than
you don't have to be a regular person.
Yeah,
you don't have to be a libertarian to support secession. That's what's cool about secession.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great thing about secession is it means that instead of one group of people getting their way on what America is, 50 groups of people can get their way on what their state is like.
Indeed. And it's an opinion piece by a person named Chuck Bonfig. I may be mispronouncing that. B-O-N-F-I-G. From the Philadelphia Inquirer. The title is, America is Over. Let's Just Split Into Different Countries.
And, bravo.
Yeah, I mean, round of applause, generously, as well.
Who's saying this?
It's a...
The Philadelphia Inquirer.
Chuck Bonfig.
Okay, is it an editorial?
It is. It's an opinion piece, yeah. And so it starts out, George Washington once wrote, the establishment of our new government seemed to be the last great experiment for promoting human happiness. Judging by the state of our country today, I wonder if Mr. Washington would like to rephrase that. The article continues, the country has gone through many periods of strife in my time here, assassinations, recessions, desegregation, inflation, the gas crisis, Watergate, hanging chads. I don't know what hanging chads is.
That was
hanging
Florida.
Chads refers to the George Bush, Al Gore election, yeah. And the Florida recounts.
Oh, okay. The AIDS crisis, 9/11, et cetera, and so on. Maybe it's the 24-hour news cycle or the immediacy of social media now that makes the landscape seem so bleak, but I don't recall us ever being so divided. And by us, he means the United States of America. No one in our country seems happy today. The right is angry. The left is despondent. Our nation reminds me of those married couples who try to stay together for the children, but end up making everyone around them super miserable. Yeah. And it really does. I mean, I still don't understand what a Democrat is. Or what a Republican is.
I don't think they can explain it to you.
I don't fully understand. Like, I can't define somebody who's on the left versus the right unless they claim it themselves. Right? If they say, I'm on the left, then okay, I know they're on the left.
Let me give it to you very, very simply. Democrats are people who want to force their will on everybody at gunpoint.
Your mainstream media news, to me, is literally just propaganda.
Of course it is.
You know,
of course. There's very little real journalism left out there.
That seems to be the case, and it seems to me that the big three or four, right, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox,
yeah.
And then you've got, like, CNN and, you know, those kinds of
MSNBC.
Organizations, which are all kind of owned by, like, the same six companies.
Right.
Anyway, it seems like they dominate the airwaves and... I did see a meme.
Well, you have to have choke points if you're going to control the news effectively.
Yeah.
It would be much more expensive for the government to control the news if they didn't first herd all of the licenses they issue into six corporations.
Well, you don't need a license for television news as far as if it's not broadcast.
You need a license for a television station.
Sure, but I was going to say that you don't need it if you want to just create a cable channel. You don't have to per se get a license for that in the same way, at least, that you would for broadcast TV. And almost no one watches broadcast over the air anyway these days.
Regular-ass TV.
But they have a big starting point.
They've still got the choke point.
There's a meme floating around I thought was particularly attractive to me, and it was somebody from China. Has said, I don't understand why, Americans watch so much television news. And somebody said, well, why is that? And they're like, well, because in China, everybody knows that the news is just propaganda from the government.
Because it is.
Because it is.
There's no veil over it there. But, you know, in the United States, I don't think a lot of people do watch the television news. So he was only commenting on the small segment of the population that does watch it. Most of them have no idea what's going on.
I think way more people watch the news than... than you do, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I don't think you're right about that. I think a lot of people want to get away from news. They want to get away from issues. They want to get away from having to take a position or think about how they are believing about things. They'd much rather watch a fictional television show or much rather listen to music radio. That's why news talk radio, for instance, is only about 5% of any
But if they're watching, if they're watching any kind of broadcast, whether it's cable or over the air or whatever, and it's got some commercials in it, them commercials are going to be tonight at 6 o'clock, blah, blah, blah,
for it, but right? That doesn't mean they're going to watch it.
And then also because people, you know, are busy, they work and, you know, they have lives to lead and all that kind of stuff. They would like to get their information in a short period of time. And, of course, the news caters to that.
Yes, I think the United States should be able to break up with that Washington.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I kind of feel like I've asked you guys this question before, but it was said at one point that the state of Vermont had seceded from the Union for a short period of time, but it was never clarified to me whether this actually happened or not.
No, it didn't.
It did.
I'm pretty sure it didn't. That's certainly not in recent years. No, there was at one time a 12% belief that we should secede in Vermont, and that was during W. I don't know if they've been polled during Trump.
Okay. The time that I had learned that they had successfully seceded was in the middle of the 1700s, but it was only for a 6-year span, and then for some odd reason they went back.
Well, the middle of the 1700s would be right around 1750, and the Constitution was signed in 1789, so perhaps they seceded from the British Empire.
Maybe you're thinking of the Vermont Republic.
If you, me, and the captain decided to just secede New Hampshire from the Union, you know, that would hardly be fair, because there's 1.5 million people here.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's talking about that.
They don't all agree with us. But so we do have to have permission, if you will, at the state level. But
yeah,
we don't
you would
need
do
permission
run,
from the federal government to walk away.
Yeah, you'd run a ballot question here in New Hampshire, which you can't technically do without approval of the state government, or not state government, but the state legislature.
Well, you can have a plebiscite through, you wouldn't have to go through the state government.
No, what you have to do is you go through the state legislature, and then they put something on the ballot.
You wouldn't have to go through the state legislature either. Say the legislature was hopelessly corrupt. Oh, that could never happen. Have you looked lately? Say the legislature was hopelessly corrupt. Well, then the people could certainly set up a vote. We could create an intercoin.
Well, it's going to be hard to get that to be seen as having legitimacy.
This is Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
I love it.
Oh, that's nice.
I love it. That is great.
Yeah, it's my favorite poem in the world.
I might have to incorporate some of that into, you know, some of the captainisms.
Sounds like song lyrics to me.
It does.
It could be made into a song easily.
Probably pretty easily make that into
a heavy metal version.
Yeah, total metal.
The
song.
Word Invictus means unconquered.
Nice. Even better.
Yeah.
Even better. Our current situation leaves us with a feeling of futility as the ground constantly changes beneath our feet. George W. Bush did not like the Kyoto Protocol and pulled us out. Barack Obama believes in climate change and supported the Paris Accord. Donald Trump does not, and he pulls us out.
Yeah.
Joe Biden will make us reverse course and support it again. The next Republican most likely will pull us back out again.
I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that Joe Biden will do no such thing, because Joe Biden doesn't even know where he is or what he's doing.
Regardless, the point is actually really good here that this guy's making. And in fact, it reminds me of a point that was made by the state representative here in Keene, who started as a Democrat but became a libertarian. He was 20 years old, turned 21 while he was in office. And he joined the Libertarian Party. This was at the same year when there were actually two others. There were two other young Republicans who flipped. Anyway, it was interesting hearing him explain why he became a Libertarian as somebody who's coming from the left. Because a lot of times you see, you know, former Republicans joining the Libertarians. And this was one of the – it's very similar to one of the points he made, which is if you care about, like, helping people, right? Like, a lot of people on the left, they want to help people. They just erroneously believe that the government system is the way to help.
A legitimate way, right? Yes.
It's the way to help people. So – and the point that he was making was, well, when you rely on the government to help people, whatever we're talking about, whether it's welfare or, you know, saving the environment as some people want, et cetera, you're relying on this political football.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
It's about the Black Lives Matter people. And by the way, if any of them are listening now, don't forget that tomorrow you can download the whole segment from freetalklive.com if you want to share it with the Black Lives Matter people that you are affiliated with.
Okay, now just before you go on, when you say Black Lives Matter people, can you tell me what you mean by that?
People who are members of the Black Lives Matter movement, people who are active in the movement, whatever you call it.
So you're talking about the movement as opposed to the Marxist corporation that that runs the website.
I'm not really sure. I'm talking about the people that go protesting in the streets and the people who were protesting when Rand Paul and his wife had to pretty much run for their lives because the protesters were trying to swarm around them screaming, say her name, you know, like Breonna Taylor, without even looking at the fact that U.S. Senator Rand Paul authored the Justice for Breonna Taylor Act. Mm. And so...
Yeah.
Now,
also note that Rand Paul, for one, thought that those were not legitimate Black Lives Matter protesters, but that they had actually been paid and bussed in.
If they do rioting and looting and stuff like that, people who do that, first of all, it's wrong because the persons upon whom you're doing this did not murder George Floyd. They didn't do anything wrong, so it's wrong to attack them for it. And secondly, you can suffer the consequences. You can get hurt by, you know, the owner shooting you, and then you're useless to the movement. And also, you could wind up doing a whole lot of years in prison for.
Rioting and looting in particular are just really, you know, forms of an expression, right? It's like, ooh, free stuff. And where do we see that in politics? Right? Who wants
that.
Free stuff?
It's not just that, though. Riot is also the language of the unheard, as Martin Luther King said.
Let me also point out that rioting is wrong because it's exactly the kind of thing that makes people say, oh, thank God the police are here. What would we ever do without the police?
I've been reaching out to people in and around the Black Lives Matter movement, and I've been doing it. I started doing this actually the night of Kenosha Kyle's wild ride, and it just happened that night that I started arguing with people, and that I had expected not to be able to reach them, and I found that I could reach them, and I was surprised, and I said, okay, let's do this more. So I've been talking to many people. I've been forming actually a group of people that are somewhat aligned with them, and so I know a little bit, I think, about what some of the people involved are thinking, much as I hate to talk about what other people are thinking. So I'm not speaking for anybody but myself, but I'm speaking of my observations for other people. Mm-hmm. The biggest misconception that I've found in the BLM community is that if white people wanted to make the violence stop, they could. And if you listen to G. Edward
Griffin.
Griffin, in 1969, he gave a speech where he talked about when the communist revolution came, that one of the things that we would see is massive fires being set all over the United States, which dovetails interestingly with the fires that are going on the West Coast, where a lot of skeevy crackers are getting busted, setting fires there for no apparent reason, except, but it seems like no apparent reason until you hear it predicted in 1969. So there are different people out there. And if there's one misconception on the other side, because I've also been working with militiamen and trying to introduce Black Lives Matter people to militia people, mm-hmm. the biggest conception that you see on the militia side is because there's a Marxist corporation that takes the name Black Lives Matter, that everybody who's out in the street for Black Lives Matter must be loyal to that organization or loyal to Marxism. That is absolutely not my excuse. Most of the black folks I've talked to about this do not want rioting.
I kind of wanted to talk about how in today's current events, you know, a lot of people don't really have a voice because having the wrong opinion can basically lead to the end of potentially like your way of making a living or losing your job and kind of things and mm-hmm. along those lines, and what your guys' opinion on that is.
It is certainly a risk. I know, you know, having worked for many different companies over the course of my life, you know, you have to tread carefully in the office, as it were, because you don't want to say something that is in opposition to what somebody else might feel or, you know, otherwise might be construed as what we call an HR moment. You know, you can right. indeed get fired just for something that you say, you know, in the workplace. You know, maybe it's controversial. Maybe it opposes whatever the majority of the people who work at that company believe. It is definitely a risk. So when you do start speaking out, that is a risk that you have to take. I myself take that risk every day just being here and doing this on the radio, much less doing anything else, you know, in that way, shape, or form. Fortunately for me, because I position myself as a comedian, which I am, I do funny stuff over at lcaptainkickass.com, but also as a musician, most people just kind of, you know, wash it out. Oh, he's an artist.
Affirmative action in itself is kind of racist, you know. It's kind of like you're looking at a group of people and you know, and saying that they need kind of like, it's kind of like dehumanizing, right? You know, it's like they need, sorry, let me get my dogs are going crazy. It's like they need a helping hand in order to be successful when, mm-hmm. you know, that's completely not the case, because there's no difference between, you know, a white man, an Asian man, or a black man. It's more of a nature versus nurture kind of thing. We're not born genetically different than anyone else. It's kind of like your environment, but, you know, people, they want to be treated equally, but a lot of times, you know, they're for having affirmative action. Like in California, I think they're trying to pass laws that say, you know, you have to have, you know, this many women, this many people of color, whatnot, this many minorities, which, you know, it's
one of those things where it's the government trying to solve a problem it has no business trying to solve.
And a problem exactly. that it created.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the private sector will sort itself out. If you're the best person for the job and, you know, you have the qualifications, then the employer will definitely see that. I don't think... You know, I'm a little bit younger. I'm 26, and I don't think that we live in the world that, you know, your boss is going to look at your resume and you're going to, you know, if you're a black person, well, I'm not going to hire him because he's a black person.
Nobody, you brought in a piece tonight that you wanted to have a go at, so let's do that now.
Yeah. And the piece is entitled Armed in Black, How a Group of Men Carrying Guns Say That They Are Seeking Racial Justice.
Where is this from?
This comes from news.yahoo.com.
All right.
Okay. Ramil Taylor, a member of the Minnesota Freedom Fighters, at a meet and greet event in Minneapolis, and I just read the caption of a photograph. Sorry about that. Before he drove to the grocery store parking lot, Ramil Taylor did the same thing he's done every day this summer. He holstered his 9mm handgun to the waistband of his gym shorts until he could feel it hug his ripe hip. When he arrived at the store in North Minneapolis, he spotted six other black men, some in tactical gear, armed with Glock 23s and Smith & Wesson M&Ps.
Sweet, so you can open carry in Minnesota?
Apparently.
Nice. I believe so, yes.
One of them beamed when he spotted Taylor and hugged him. "Bro, good to see you," Taylor said, muffled through a face mask. They had come to... Well, I mean, you have a right, whatever your opinion is. They had come together for a meet and greet to introduce themselves to the community, marking one of the first public gathering of the Minnesota Freedom Fighters.
And there's a lot of talk right now, you know, in the news and in society in general about racism, and that's great to bring attention to it. I firmly believe that one of the most effective ways to help end racism is by everybody being armed.
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody.
I think so, too, and that's why I've got this thrust. The second part of my master plan is to find militia units for black folks who want to take place in protecting or take part in protecting their community, so that A, they have backup, B, a mixed race group is less likely to be shot by police, I think, and C, a mixed race group is less likely to fall victim to what happened to Kenosha Kyle. So basically, if in that case, hopefully both sides will recognize you as, or will at least say, "I don't know how to categorize this yet. I'm going to find out what it is,
like, what
before
is
I start throwing bullets at it."
Right.
Going on. Heeding the call, the men, who had met at a local cafe, stood watch outside small businesses for several nights in late May and early June. More recently, they have patrolled neighborhoods, offering security to protesters, and they have been in regular communication with city officials about protests they plan to attend. The one thing that Fruitcake said on the line, the guy who called in earlier, that, you know, it was absolutely on point, is this is not helping the cause, because what happened is, and I watched it in the libertarian community, where you know, at first when they burned down the police station, a lot of us were like, "Yeah, check it out," and then they go and they burn down, you know, an AutoZone, right. And it's like, and there's no more to be said on this. And people said, "Ooh, that's not so good." And then some small businesses burned, and people were like, "Oh God, that's awful." And so sympathy was lost for the movement. Now, I think that's intentional, because I think that this is all part of yet another attempt to start Helter Skelter.
What is that?
Helter Skelter was Charles Manson's idea to start a race war.
Oh, I thought it was the song by Motley Crue.
It is also a song by Motley Crue, which was in turn based on, I believe,
wasn't there a Beatles song?
Charles Manson. It's named after a Beatles song, and that is because Charles Manson was obsessed with the White Album, specifically. Leslie Richmond, president of Minneapolis National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, said she is happy the men are armed and wants them to grow as community leaders. These brothers were there from the beginning when threats were being made by white supremacists, not just white supremacists, she said. There is no doubt they stepped up for the community. Tyler and other members view the group as a way to provide safety for peaceful protesters, but they also understand that black men armed with legally registered guns are viewed differently by many in the law enforcement and other parts of society than, say, white militia members who stormed state capitals. Yeah, they have to go into some anti-gun stuff, waving their firearms without repercussions. Waving them, were they? Like flags.
I doubt that.
Yeah, I doubt that too. These guys tend to be pretty good about muzzle control and trigger control, and if they're not, they keep themselves in, you know, they keep each other in line. Nonetheless, he said, we are like any other American. We have the right to keep and bear arms, and that is so true.
One of the most rebellious things I remember ever seeing as a kid growing up was Dee Snider in front of the congressional hearings defending music from the entity known as the PMRC and basically just verbally letting the politicians have it. With
and brilliantly, you know, much more intelligent than I expected.
Absolutely. And it's one of my most fond memories of, you know, a heavy metal persona, you know, sort of taking on the man.
Now he's just a wuss.
And now apparently all the money has gone, you know, to his head, and he's no longer rebellious because he's a wealthy, wealthy man.
They literally have a photo. He posted a picture or a piece of artwork of himself on his own Twitter, where I believe he's made up as Uncle Sam, and he's got like a mask on his face.
Oh, wow. See, I like to think that they actually...
I'm not kidding.
I'm going to believe it will become a matter of faith in my church that he was actually assassinated and replaced with a duplicate. So that's not the real D. Snider.
I think that's what happened with
D.
Mark.
D. Snider, no matter where he is not taking it. And you see, if you see a man taking it, that's not D. Snider.
I think they replaced Mark at some point recently, too.
There is, however, somebody, a musician, that appears to not be wanting to take it.
Don't take it!
And that man's name is Van Morrison. Van Morrison accuses the UK government of, quote, taking our freedom, unquote, in three new songs bashing the worldwide lockdown to prevent the spread of COVID-19. In the song No More Lockdown, the most on the nose of the three tracks,
that's
Morrison plainly lays out his thoughts. No more lockdown, no more government overreach, no more fascist bullies disturbing our peace, no more taking of our freedom and our God-given rights, pretending it's for our safety when it's really to enslave.
That's some lyrics right there from the
song.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
I just want to let that sit into our listeners' ears for a minute. Mm-hmm. In another song, according to the BBC, Morrison references a widely shared Facebook post of a screenshot from the UK government's website stating that COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high-consequence infectious disease, or an HCID.
Wow, isn't that interesting? Low consequences, still mandatory face masks.
And other, you know, lockdown type of measures that are also mandatory. While it is true that COVID-19 currently does not meet the criteria for an HCID in the UK, it is still highly infectious the world over. This is the Rolling Stone author talking.
Are they saying that the disease is different in the UK than it is in other places?
That seems to be what they're alluding to, yes. In another one of the songs, according to BBC, Morrison references a widely shared Facebook post of a screenshot from the UK government website stating that COVID is no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease. And in addition, Northern Ireland's Health Minister Robin Swan has referred to the new trio of songs as dangerous. Now, me being an artist, I mean, perhaps ideas can be dangerous, but the songs, I mean, I've never been attacked by a song. I've never had a song, you know, run out in front of my car. You know, I've never had a song pick up a gun and, you know, threaten to do me harm or throw
me
in a cage.
Somebody could snap a CD in half and, like, poke at you with it. That could be kind of annoying.
Yeah, but that's not the song itself. That's just the media that it was printed in or on or whatever have you. So it's my opinion that songs, that art in and of itself is not dangerous.
Well, this is where historically book bans have come from. You know, oh, we can't have the children reading Catcher in the Rye. Or whatever, you know, you fill in the more recent book bannings and burnings and such.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.